Let me just review the last couple of weeks, because they've kind of come and gone, but I wanted you to understand the context for which the gospel today finds itself. First, you remember in Advent, those four brief weeks we prepared for the coming of Christ. At Christmas, we celebrated the incarnation, the Word become flesh, Jesus born of Mary. And then on January the 5th, it was a Saturday, it was the Feast of the Epiphany, the journey of the Magi to worship the Christ child. But then on the first Sunday of after Epiphany, which was the day after the 5th, a week ago, it was the Feast of the Baptism of Jesus. Now that's a fast forward, about 30 years. And we are right in into the midst of the life and the ministry of Jesus within the season of Epiphany. But specifically, you'll notice not only today, but in the weeks that are coming, is that this is the dominant theme throughout the weeks today and in the weeks to come, are the calling of the disciples. The calling of the disciples is the major theme that is before us. Now, in order to understand that, I just would direct you back to a few verses before the verses that we have today in the Gospel of John. The calling of the disciples begins after the testimony of John the Baptist concerning who Jesus is. And John points away from himself and to Christ at his baptism and said, "This is the one. This is the one. Look to him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This, we're told, took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. But then the next day, Jesus begins, after John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. This is he who I said after me comes one who ranks before me." And John bore witness to Christ that this is the Son of God. Then in verse 35, the next day, Jesus was standing with two of his, that is John's, disciples. The Gospel of John has the very first disciples, Andrew and Peter, and one unknown disciple, one that's not named, to be called. But it says that they were disciples of John. So the disciples of the Johannine community, the disciples of the community of John the Baptist, were prepared for the coming of the Messiah. And when the Messiah came, John said, "He's here." And John said a very interesting thing, which would be a good verse for all Christians to say, "I must decrease as he must increase." So John stepped back, so to speak, in humility. And he said, "Now you're released to go and follow Jesus. He's the one that you've been waiting for." So then, we're told that they came to him, and the two disciples heard John say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said to them, "What are you seeking?" Which is a great question for every one of us. When we encounter Christ, he wants to know, "What do you need? What are you looking for?" Now, the gospel comes for everybody in a universal way. But I find from my experience in the Christian life that Jesus comes to us in a very personal and particular way. He comes to us within the context of our lives. And so he said, "What is it that you're seeking? What are you looking for?" In other words, he might have put it this way: "What can I do for you? How can I minister to you?" Now, sometimes when Jesus was ministering to the people to who came to him, it was obvious that a man born blind, you know, a man who was lame, a man possessed of demons, a woman caught in adultery, you know, there were some situations that the situation itself presented the need. But sometimes it was an interior need that was not known. So Jesus said, what can I do for you? How can I pray for you? How can I minister to you? Do you know that Jesus is available to us 24/7 for that kind of ministry? I can remember a young man who was very ill for many weeks and months, totally discouraged, bedridden. And then, from reading the Bible, he began to notice something. That is that Jesus did a lot of helping, that Jesus did a lot of healing. And he prayed a very profound prayer. It was very simple, but very profound. He said, Lord, are you still in the, well, I don't know if he put it exactly this way, but I'll paraphrase it. Lord, are you still in the business of healing? Is that still your thing? And so he prayed the profound prayer. He said, help me. Heal me. And Jesus is faithful. When he asks, what are you seeking? He waits around to answer the question. You know, sometimes we say, what can I do for you? And then we're on our way. Jesus waits for the answer. And then he particularizes his love and his power to healing you. So what is it today as you come, the second Sunday of Epiphany? What are you seeking? It might be for you. It might be for a family member or a family situation. It might be most certainly today for Father Jim. I find myself praying. I have a prayer list that we pray, but then when some people come, they go to the top of the list, and then I pray every time I think throughout the day. If I'm praying before a meal, I pray for that person, pray for that person, pray for that person, so that my thoughts are almost continuously thinking about praying for that particular person. And of recent days, that's been my thoughts for Father Jim. And for Father Augie's wife, Shirley Savillo, who had a similar accident. She was walking her dog, and he pulled her over, and she broke her leg too. So praying for Father Shirley Savillo. They were perhaps better known in Ormond, but still should be known here in New Smyrna as well. So be in touch every day with what are you looking for from Jesus? What is it that you need? And don't miss the opportunity. Don't let it pass by just keeping it to yourself and say, oh, well, he's off busy with somebody else, or he's just got too much to deal with to worry about my little concerns. That's a wonderful thing about God, is God is everywhere in everyone 24/7. It's hard for us to imagine that, to fathom that, but that's the truth. So they said, what do you seek? He said, what are you seeking? And then they said, sometimes our responses are not that articulate or sophisticated. Where are you staying? By that I don't mean which motel are you in, what room. No, where are you staying? He said, what? Come and see. Now here's the key. Here's a key. We come to know Jesus through an unfolding discovery experience. Sometimes it's short and sweet and powerful and palpable, but oftentimes it's part of the journey. We pray to the Lord, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. Here's how I need you. You see, it may take time, and we come to know Jesus in a deeper way as we live into seeing where he lives. And when he says, come and see, he will reveal to us, he will show us the answer to the prayer. And the healing will come. The person I remembered before who prayed for help, I need healing, a person took many months more to be healed. But God had touched that person, and he knew it. And it made all the difference in the world. So, this is the call. And then, Andrew, and the unknown disciple, from verse 35 to verse 42, when he had come, when he did come and see Jesus, he did discover who Jesus was. He went and got Peter and said, Peter, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. Come. You see, when we experience Christ, we can invite others to come. Others who need healing in spirit, soul, and body. How could we, in confidence, invite them to come to Jesus? Because Jesus has touched us. He has blessed us. And we can say to a person, a sister or a brother in need, we can say, I found Jesus. Bless me in a special way. I had questions, I had doubts, I had uncertainties, I had needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, physical needs, but I found in Jesus the one who was promised. And I came to him, not because I was worthy or that I had it all together, but I came to him out of my sense of need. You can do the same thing too. Operation Andrew. Went and got his brother and said, come on, Brother Peter, this is the one whom we've been waiting for. I also think there's a kind of a humorous little anecdote in here that often goes unnoticed. When Peter came, he said, so... you are Peter, son of Cephas, son of John. You shall be called Rocky. Literally, you shall be called, the Rock. You shall be called the Rock. Peter had no idea what God and Jesus intended for him. It was quite a story, Peter's story. Well, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. What is interesting about that is that the disciples who he called the day before were from where? Bethsaida. Where's Bethsaida? In the Galilean region. So he had called the unknown disciple, he had called Peter, he had called Andrew. And so then he goes to Galilee, which is their place, and that's where he calls the rest of the 12. But he has the four come with him, and you know there were 12 more that were called. So the next day, which is today's gospel, they found him, and he said, follow me. Similar kind of invitation to the others, follow me. The Christian life consists of following Jesus. And when our children, our daughters who are now grown and moms, when they were little, I think I shared this in a sermon here once before, but we taught them on their way to school. They were within walking distance of their elementary school, and we would meet them in the morning, and we taught them a little prayer, and we would say, okay, and then we made them do it with the hands because then they would really remember it. I say, okay, now you ready? And I would say, good morning, dear Jesus. This day is for you. I ask you to bless all I think, say, and do. You got to remember that. Write it down if you're quick. Good morning, dear Jesus. This day is for you. I ask you to bless all I think, say, and do. Now, why do I say that? Because following Jesus is following Jesus the way he thinks. The Bible says that we are to have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We know what is on the mind of God, what is on the mind of Jesus Christ. And it's extensive, what we know from Scripture, but, you know, at least we could know that he says, well, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbors thyself. And he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. All nations, the rich ones and the poor ones, the needy ones and the wealthy ones. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You see, a great commitment to the great commandments and the great commission will grow a great church, or will grow a great Christian. So we have the mind of Christ, but we also have the heart of Christ. That means we have a compassionate heart, an empathetic heart, a merciful heart, a forgiving heart, a kind heart, a holy heart. Why do you feel that way? Why do you think that way? Why do you feel that way? Why are you doing what you're doing? Getting sneakers for kids that don't have shoes on their feet, or sending a card to Father Jim to see that he gets the healing and knows that he's loved and upheld by each and every one of us. Why do you do what you do? Why do you think what you think? Why do you feel what you feel? Because we are following Jesus Christ. One day at a time. You see, you don't have to do it all at once, and you don't have to do it completely. It takes a lifetime, and we're still incomplete at the end of our lifetime. But the good thing about it is we can do it one day at a time. Learn how to think like Jesus, feel like Jesus, and act like Jesus for 24 hours in one day, and you can do it every day. It's a daily journey of following Jesus. So, what's the take home? Lastly, I just want you to think about the ways in which God has blessed you through Jesus in your lifetime. There's too many people here and not enough time to do it, so I can't ask for a show of hands or I can't ask you to give testimony, but I want you to just think about it. How has Jesus blessed you? Do you trust him to bless you again? Do you trust him if he said, follow me, I will lead you into the kingdom of God? Will you trust him? If he extends his hand and says, here, take my hand, come to me and follow me. To me, it's a no-brainer. That's the greatest offer a human being could ever be given, period. Think about it this week, would you? Think about the call of God to you in Jesus Christ. Think about what you need from him. And the wonderful thing is that faith is self-authenticating. Either what Jesus said is true, and if what he says he will do is true, or it isn't. But I have never trusted him in my 71 years This is an exclusive statement. I've never trusted him and ever felt disappointed or that he betrayed that trust or that his response was unfruitful in my life. Now, he didn't answer every prayer the way I wanted it, when I wanted it, how I wanted it answered. I spent a lot of time praying, telling God what I think he should do. But genuinely trusting him, God has never made me disappointed. The blessings of God are found in the pathway of his purpose for our lives, period, and no place else. Father, thank you for this gospel in which you call us. Thank you for these other precious scriptures in which you remind us of how intricately and wonderfully we are made, even known within our mother's womb before our days are lived. Every one of our days written in your book of life. Thank you, Lord, that you remind us that our bodies are the temple of your Holy Spirit, that you seek to dwell within our souls, and that you seek to fulfill your promise and purpose for us in ways that we can't even ask or imagine. Bless us this day and every day. Help us to love you and serve you more and more to the glory of your name, and in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.